Okay, so we're going to talk about we're going to talk about Ona'a, the prohibition of Ona'a, and Yovel, and the relationship between the two. And they are related because in Parshas Behar, which is this week's Parsha, the Torah tells us about Shemitah, and then the Torah tells us about Yovel. The primary rules for Yovel are, well, Shemitah, you let the land go fallow, you don't work the land, you let the poor people eat whatever grows there, and that's once every 7 years, and then once every 50 years is Yovel, and Yovel, essentially, the slaves are free, and also if you sell your ancestral homeland, so what happens? It goes back after Yovel. And then in the middle of this discussion, in Perek Chavhei Pasuk Yudalet, the Torah says, V'chi simkaru, if you sell property to your friend, o kano mi'adam yisachah, or you buy from your friend, al tonu ishes achiv, do not, how would you translate tonu? I guess oppress. Don't oppress your brother. B'mispar shanim achar hayovel tikneh me'eis, within the number of years after Yovel, you purchase from your friend. B'mispar shnei tfuos yim karlach, the number of years of produce he will sell for you. In other words, you don't sell, you don't purchase the land for good, for perpetuity. You purchase essentially the land to use it for a number of years. Pasuk Tezayin says, Lefi rova shanim tarbeh miknaso, lefi ma'ata shanim ma'ota shanim tamit miknaso, ki mispar tfuos u'mocherlach. Depends on how many years. If there's a lot of, if there are, if there is a lot, if there are a lot of years left until Yovel, then you're paying a lot of money. If there are a few years left to Yovel, you pay less because you're going to have less property, less, you're going to acquire less, because basically what you're really buying, you're buying the produce, the tvua, the produce. You're not buying the land in perpetuity. And then the pasuk says, "V'lo todu ishes amiso," you shouldn't oppress your friend. "V'reisem elokecha," you should fear God. "Ki ani Hashem elokecha," because I am Hashem, your God. And then you will do my laws, you will observe my laws, my mishpatim you will keep, and you will live in the land securely. So the Torah is telling us, so this is a Yovel halacha, right? This is a halacha about, a law about when you sell the land, or when you buy land, ancestral land. So you're not buying and selling in perpetuity, you're buying it for a certain number of years until Yovel, and then the land goes back to its original owner. So obviously you're going to pay less if you buy the land from someone 2 years before Yovel versus if you buy it 40 years before Yovel. So the Torah, so the two, I find there are two interesting points that the Torah is trying to, that I think that the Torah here is trying to convey to us. And number one is, the Torah is connecting Yovel to Ona'a, to this prohibition of oppressing someone. You could have simply said that there is this halacha called Yovel, this institution called Yovel, and this is the deal. The deal is that you're selling the land and you're paying the value of the land to use it for a certain number of years, and then you get it back at Yovel. But the Torah includes, in the discussion of this halacha, the phrase "al todu ish esachiv," don't oppress your brother. So that's a little unusual, and we learn the halachos of Ona'a from this. This is the source. It's said in the context of Yovel. An example of Ona'a is, let's say, you sell something for more than, let's say that we can establish a fair market value for something. So you could argue that maybe now that the fair market value is what someone's willing to pay for it. So if there is an objective fair market value and you trick someone and you sell to him for a lot more than the objective fair market value, so that might be a violation of Ona'a. So I want to first ask, what's the connection between Ona'a and Yovel?
What's interesting is that usually there is no Ona'a in karka.
Correct.
So I can pay, which is interesting because it goes together here somehow.
Yeah, and here you're asking to do with the land, correct. And the other issue here is that it says al todu or lo todu, the prohibition is mentioned twice. in the beginning of the section, at the end of the section. So I want to deal with these two questions. Is there any connection between Odah and Yovel? And secondly,
but is it really only selling? Or, I mean, it sounds to me more like a lease. I mean, you're leasing it for a number of years. You're not really buying it because you're giving it back.
Right.
So it's really more of a lease than it is a sale.
Yeah, so it could be that, you know, the question, you know, what are your rights and what are, it could be for all intents and purposes, you know, it could be a lease, maybe you're not liable for, maybe you have less liability than if you purchase something. It sounds like if you purchase something, then you have greater responsibility for it complete. Now, you could argue, it depends how you design the lease and how you design the, so you have, I'm just saying, you know, classically, you have different types of shomrim. You have what's called a shomer chinam, when you want something for free. You have shomer sachar, where you pay rent for, you lease something, and then you have shomer sachar, you want something for money, for a salary, or for payment, and then sochar, you rent something, and shoel, you borrow something, and so there are different levels of liability depending on. You know, how you structure the transaction. And I think maybe what the Torah is even saying, Dave, is even if you structure it as a sale, it's irrelevant what you do. Because if you say, I'm selling you my field, well, it goes back at Yovel. So that maybe the Torah is trying to say, like, it's irrelevant what you try to do. Even when you buy and you sell, it's irrelevant what you try to do because it goes back at Yovel. You know, similar to when it comes to slaves and Eved Ivri. Even if the person says, "Oh, I want to remain the owner's slave forever," and the owner says, "Yeah, I'll protect you and I'll provide for you food. You'll be my slave forever." So it's irrelevant what you want. You go out of Yovel. So
it also works the other way. It's the buyer knows that it's worth much more money.
Correct. Yes, it works in both directions. Correct. So I want to first tackle the second question first. Why is the prohibition of Onah mentioned twice, both in Pasuk Yudalit and Pasuk Yudzayin? So Rashi, well, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Al Tonu, Zo Onas Mamon. So the first time when the Torah says Al Tonu, it says that you cannot oppress someone with money, and oppress someone so that they incur a financial loss. And then a few psukim later, the second time it says, Velo Sonu, Isha Samiso. So the Torah, Rashi says, "Kan hizira onas devarim." There are two different types of onah. There's onas mamon, where you take advantage of someone and cause that person a financial loss. And there's simply onas devarim, where you oppress someone through words, maybe verbal abuse. So yaknid es chaver, that you shouldn't anger your friend. Lo yasienu eitza sheinu hogenes lo, lefi darkov hadasa shel yoetz. You shouldn't give him bad advice that's not proper for him, that will benefit the one who's giving the advice. So it probably doesn't mean, probably where there's no financial implications. But, so al tonu, financial implications, lo tonu, even non-financial implication. And Rashi says, im tomar, if you'll say, mi yodei miskavanti the ra, who knows if I intended for bad? Like, maybe I was giving good advice. He doesn't know, nobody knows. L'kach nema v'yiresem elokecha. That's why the Torah says, you should fear God. You should be afraid of God. Hayodeh machshavos hu yodeh. He knows all thoughts. Kol davar masur lev. Anything is anything, you know, Hashem knows all your thoughts. Lefi she'ein makir ela mi she'amachshav b'libo. So, right, you would say that things, so instead, anything that basically you can fool people that is based on your thoughts, nemar bo v'yiresem elokecha. So Raj is pointing out the reason why it says, in Pasuk Zion, and you should fear God. You should fear from God. Well, that should apply to every single mitzvah. So he's saying halachos, or mitzvos, where nobody may know that you're committing a sin. So the Torah is saying God knows. Okay? So you get some bad advice. You know, no, I intended it to be good advice. No, don't worry, Hashem knows your intention. So Rashi says that no deception in business, onas mamon, and no bad advice. And the Yalkut Shimoni sort of broadens, Rashi only gives a few examples here of of onas dvarim. It comes from a medrash, and the medrash has many more examples. Yaakov Shimoni, I just picked one medrash. He says, "Al tonu bonas dvarim kasa medaber." So when it says "velo sodu pasuk zayin," is it talking about onas dvarim, or ena el bonas mamon, or is it maybe talking about oppressing someone that caused the financial loss? Kishehu omer vechisim gru memkar. When the Torah says, and when you sell, hare onas mamon amor. In pasuk yudalet, it's talking in the context of a sale. So that's talking about onas mamon. Ha'amani mekayim v'lo sonu ish es amiso. So what does it mean when the Torah here says v'lo sonu ish es amiso? Bonas dvar mekosu medaber. It's obviously talking about something else. So it's talking about verbal abuse. Okay, so what are some examples? Imo yabal tshuva. If someone was a bal tshuva, so lo yomar lo zchor ma'asecha rishonim. You shouldn't tell him, oh, I remember when you were not observant and you did all these bad things. And that embarrasses him. Imayab ben Gerim, let's say he was a son of converts. Lo yomar lo, ah, zechor ma'asecha ravsecha. Ah, remember the deeds of your parents. And that makes him feel bad. Haya geru ba lo mo Torah. Let's say he's a convert, he comes to learn Torah. Lo yomar lo, pesha achal, the veil sotrefa, shkatzer masim, the yovel lo mo Torah. He comes to learn Torah, he's a bal tshuva. I'm sorry, he's a ger. He's a convert. You can say, this mouth that ate forbidden foods, now he's going to learn Torah? She yatsa b'pi ha-shechina? Torah came out from the mouth of the mouth of the divine presence. Imo yisurim ba'im alav o shahayim mekaver esbanav. Let's say he has a tragedy, suffering, buries his kids, a really horrible tragedy. Lo yomar lo kedech shamru chaver le'iov. You shouldn't tell him the way that the Eov's friends told him. Lo yirascha kislasecha zechorna mi hu naki avad. So this refers to when Eov's friends told Eov that maybe you only feared God because you thought that you were God fearing. Remember that innocent people don't get punished. So basically, Eov's friends told him you obviously did something bad, and that's why you're punished. So you shouldn't tell that to someone who is suffering, because that will simply make them feel bad. Let's say there's a merchants, they want to buy grain. You shouldn't tell them, go to this other guy, and you know that he never sells grain. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Aflo Yitla Atzma Lamechach, Bishash Ein Lodamim. Also, you shouldn't make it seem like you're going to buy something when you don't have any money. Sharei Hadavar Masr Lalev. This is all these things. You know, it could be in your heart, you know, that no one can prove that you're trying to trick the other person. So again, it says you should fear God. So what is the common denominator of all these cases? I think there's what's the common denominator between onas mamon and onas devarim and all these examples? What would you say the Torah is getting at? What's the underlying value here? What's the underlying sin here? Can you think of a common denominator for all these cases? What are you really doing here? Are you doing something that's illegal according to secular law? I don't think so. What are you really doing here? In all of these cases,
you're just causing tsar, even to the merchant.
You're causing suffering. That's true. I think there is trickery. Some of the cases are not necessarily trickery, right? When you tell the convert, oh, I remember, you know, you're not tricking him, but you're just making him feel bad. I think a more precise definition of what's going on here is you are taking advantage of someone else's weakness. All of these cases are cases when you're taking advantage of someone's weakness, either through a business dealing, onas mamon, or simply by the words that we say. In other words, the Torah here is rejecting, you know, let's say the outside culture, right? Outside culture is, you know, secular culture is, as long as it's legal, I can try to find someone else's weakness and then tear the person down, even though it's legal. So the Torah is telling us that we are not allowed to prey on the weak, even if what we're doing is totally legal. The person needs to sell, so he knows. The person needs to sell something, And maybe he knows he's being overcharged. He knows, but he has no choice, right? You're not doing anything illegal. You're just pointing out the truth. So you're taking advantage of someone's weakness. So the Torah says absolutely not. This is certainly forbidden.
The last thing, you have no money, so what are you going to do? I mean, you can't finally make it. Anyway.
What do you mean?
The last example.
Yeah.
You're negotiating, you have no money. So
right, so again, you're tricking the guy.
That's the guy's weakness. There's no weakness.
Yeah, I think there you're just tricking the guy. You're making him...
He's just trying to get up.
But no, because he's desperate to sell something. So that's maybe we have to think about that a little bit. And maybe that's why not everyone holds like that. But generally, you know, you're taking advantage of, you know, people really want to do a sale. So you're losing, you're causing him a loss of time. You know, he could be going elsewhere. He's desperate to sell. So generally, when you trick someone, you're taking advantage of the weakness. They don't have certain information. So that's sort of, I think, the common denominator. Now, if you think about it, Yovel is the opposite of Ona'ah. Why? Because every 50 years, we're all even, right? Slaves are freed and land that is sold is returned. Who sells their ancestral homeland? Who would sell their ancestral homeland? Only someone who has no other choice. The weakest members of society sell their future. Because if you don't have any land in an agrarian society, you have no hope. But the guy has no money right now. So the weakest members of society sell their ancestral homeland. They sell their future for food and basic necessities. Who sells themselves into slavery? Also, right? Why are you willing to give up your freedom? Because you have no choice. You have no food. You have no shelter. Ibravanel writes the following. He says, Venira li, it seems to me, lefaresh, to explain. Velo sonu mitzvah, she'ein velo sonu mitzvah. When the Torah says velo sonu yishlam miso, it's not a separate mitzvah. Elo hoda'a, but it's informing you. Kolomar, v'kasher timkaru mimkar o kano lefi rov hashanim ufi miutan, that when you sell the land in this manner, yimashech mizeh, what will emerge from this? Kilo sonu yishlam miso, you're not going to oppress your friend. Kilo tipo bazeh hona'a bios hamekach v'memkar bazeh ofen. Because there won't be ona'ah, you're not going to oppress your friend when the sale takes place in this matter. It's not telling you the way that Bravadel is explaining. It's not saying that there's that al tonu, the first thing is, you know, don't oppress. There's a separate mitzvah of don't oppress. No, when you follow this rule, then when you follow the rule of Yovel, then you're not going to be oppressing someone. And he says, v'afshar l'farsho gamkein al ha'avodim. And maybe you could explain this also, that this is talking about slaves. Eved Ivri. Because in the Shemitah year, there were sinners who would appease their slaves, that they can say, oh, I love my master. You can imagine, like a landowner, or like a master would convince his slave that it's in the slave's best interest to still remain a slave. You can imagine a master telling a slave, you can't handle it on your own. Remember, you were forced to sell yourself into slavery. Listen, I'll take care of you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to shelter you. It's a tough world out there. It's much better for you to be with me. You can imagine someone doing that. And then, therefore the Torah says, Shebi yovo yatsu, and the yetsu, then in yovo, they go out. Al koponim, v'lo yonu ish esachiv, l'shev esimo. Person should not oppress his brother to live with him. Certainly, it's fitting to distance yourself from this. To fear God. Because maybe you or one of your children who end up being slaves. You shouldn't make someone into a slave. So Bravanel is basically saying, by observing Yovel, what's the difference between Yovel and Ona'ah? By observing Yovel, the whole institution of Yovel is a rejection of Ona'ah. If we return the land at Yovel, this is the formula to not oppress your neighbor. Or if we free slaves at Yovel, this is also the formula to not oppress your neighbor. Without Yovel, you will have a quintessential case of onah, because the wealthy would buy up all the land and would convince the poor to sell their freedom in exchange for food and shelter. So the institution of Yovel is designed to teach us how to reject onah. And the Sfas Emes goes one step further. The Sfas Emes says the following: Inyan smichas parshas onah l'shmita. Why is onah close to the mitzvah of shmita? Be'emes ikar al tonu kidei lios b'nei Yisrael ba'achdus. Why shouldn't we oppress each other so that we could all live in unity as one? Kemoshe amru chazal, like that which Chazal said, she'onas devarim gan kein bichlal. It's included in al tonu as oppressing through words. V'ine mitzvah hashmita eina mitzvah pratis. That the mitzvah of shmita is not a personal mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah for the individual. Elekfi ha'achdus sheyesh b'bnei Yisrael yecholim l'kaim zos ha-mitzvah. That only with achdus, only when we are united, then we can fulfill this mitzvah. Why is that true? Kemo shekasu bizman shekol yoshvim aleha. That the only time the mitzvah of Shemitah is a Torah obligation is when the majority of the Jewish people are living in their land. L'chein ayidei ha'achdus ba'in l'shvisas ha'shmitah. That if we are united and we care about each other and there's a sense of equality in our nation, so this will lead to Shemitah, because we'll only be able to fill Shemitah if we engage in achdus. There's the Shemitah is the, and Yovel are the rewards of achdus, and that's predicated on no onah. He says, v'lachein charav hamikdash, and therefore the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed ayidei sinas chinam, because of baseless hatred. V'ayidei bitul shmitin v'yovlos. The Chazal give two different reasons for the destruction of Beis Hamikdash: baseless hatred, and also a lack of shmita and yovlos, and Yovel. And the Sfas Emes says, ki akol iyan echad, it's the same thing. Because when there's hatred, when there's no achdus, so there's no shmita. There's no shmita and yovel. In other words, the goal of again, the Torah is fundamentally a capitalist society, but not to the extreme. They don't believe in pooling everyone's money. So in some respect, it's a capitalist society, but we don't want to take advantage. But it's capitalism, but not to take advantage of the weak. Not to take advantage and to try to take advantage of someone's weakness. And the goal of our anti-onah, and if we work hard as a society to reject onah, to take care of those who are weak and who are defenseless and who may not be as adept as other people, if we take care of that, then we really are creating a community of achdus, of unity. And this will lead, and the reward for that is what? That Klal Yisrael will remain in Eretz Yisrael. And if Klal Yisrael is remaining in Eretz Yisrael, the majority of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, then we can fulfill the mitzvah of Shemitah to its fullest. And perhaps the message of the connection between Shemitah and Yovel is that the Torah connects these two, the onah halachos with Shemitah and Yovel, in two directions. To explain that on the one hand, the laws, the halachos of Yovel, fight the culture of onah, are designed to fight the culture of onah, and to teach us how we're supposed to behave, even not during Yovel. But it's we learned this topic, the sugya of Yovel, to help teach us how we're really supposed to be with the broader society. And the reward of engaging in an anti-onah culture will help achieve a state of achdus and a state of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, a state of Shemitah and Yovel. Okay. So that is...